Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we begin in verse 12 and read through verse 16. Luke 6, 12 through 16. This is God's word. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Several things we want to look at in this small group of verses. The first is, Jesus did ministry during the day. So after a day of ministry, you need a good night's sleep. But Jesus did something else that night. Jesus went out to a mountainside, and since he couldn't sleep, he decided to pray. No, he went there to pray. He was intentional about this. That was the purpose for which he'd gone out. It wasn't to stargaze, but he went out to a mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. That is the main point I want you to take away from this passage. There's more that we're going to look at. But Jesus spent the night praying to God. It wasn't just occasionally on and off as he woke up, he would offer a prayer until he fell back asleep. I do that a lot. His intention was to spend time in prayer, and he spent the night praying to God. We've looked before at the fact that Jesus is God, but he is God the Son, and he is fully human as well as fully God. And as a man, Jesus got tired, got sleepy, he got harassed, he was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus is praying to God. And that's not in any way a contradiction if you know that Jesus is fully man. He's not just God pretending to be a man or a man pretending to be God. He is fully God. He is fully man. And he spent the night praying to God. Now, how is that even possible? I mean, how could you possibly spend all night in prayer? Let's assume that it was 8 hours. We don't know that, but that's kind of a standard night's sleep. Could you spend 8 hours in prayer? I'll tell you what happens to me when I pray. I get interrupted. I'm not staying up all night to do it, but I get interrupted, okay? My phone rings. Now, there's a solution for that. You can turn the phone off. You can leave the phone elsewhere. In my case, my watch would then tell me that I have a phone call. Every now and then, I have to answer a call on my watch. But if I was really in intense prayer, hopefully I would let that go. But my mind would wonder what they're calling for, wonder who that was, whatever. Distraction. That's why Jesus went out on a mountainside during the night to pray. But now let's suppose there's no external distraction, okay? No phone calls, no text messages, no people coming and saying, hey, what are you doing up here? I was just hiking. I love to hike at night. I mean, none of that, okay? No interruption. Then could you pray all night? Well, I don't know about you, Pastor Wood, but I have a very active mind, and I have all these thoughts. And so I can, even not just in prayer, I can be trying to think about this, trying to work on some problem I'm dealing with, and then all of a sudden that reminds me of this, and then that reminds me of this, and then pretty soon I'm off thinking about other things, and I've really pretty much lost track of what I originally set out to think about, and I have to bring myself back, and so forth and so on. I guess Jesus never had problems like that. No, Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus had to stay focused. But I'll tell you what helps in staying focused. My mother was very upset with me the first time I had a lengthy conversation with Mrs. Wood. Now, she wasn't Mrs. Wood at the time. She was Miss McDonald. And I called her Susie because that's the way that we were introduced. Susie and I got in a conversation sitting in the front seat of my father's Olds Cutlass. It was a bench seat, and she was sitting on the far side, and I was sitting on this side, and there was no hand-holding, no kissing. It was just conversation. But I was falling in love with this gal, and happily, she was falling in love with me. And both of us were already in love with Jesus. And he was the focus of our conversation. And we talked, 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 and we talked. Till 3 a.m. We didn't mean to. We just lost track of time. Why? Two reasons. I was with someone I was in love with. That's number one. And number two, we were talking about things that mattered most to us. We were discussing what we were passionate about. Now, what is prayer? Well, it's when you make a speech to God. No. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't think God is going to be impressed by the length of your prayer. You get alone with God. And you pour out your heart to him. And it's talking with God. It's being receptive to what God reminds you of from his word. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. He listened to the Father as well as speaking to the Father. So prayer is a conversation with God. The Psalms are filled with that. Pour out your heart to God. Just tell him what's up. Well, I don't know if I can do it all night. Don't try to do it all night. Just try to be honest. And remember who you're talking to. One of the benefits of private prayer is that you're not trying to impress anybody else. You're not thinking of how do I say this in such a way that people will know I'm spiritual. You just talk with God. Jesus prayed all night. He had gone there to pray, and he did it because he was in love with the Father. He loved his father. What is the first and greatest commandment? Jesus was asked. It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. He wants us not just to do this or do that and be sure you don't do this. He wants us to love him so that our obedience is not trying to earn God's love. It's responding to the fact that he loves us, and therefore we love him. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. When you are in love with someone, it's not a miserable task to spend time with them. If you love God, it'll be a lot easier to talk with him.
Well, I don't know that I really do love God the way I should.
Well, you probably don't. But let's try this. You will love God more and more the more you believe his love for you. He loves you. And that's so astounding given the fact that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Jesus spent the night praying to God because he loved the Father. He knew that the Father loved him. And so they were just talking together. And they talked all night long.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Then Jesus came back the next morning and he did what the Father had told him to do. And that is he chose 12 of his disciples. There was a larger group of disciples. Out of that group, Jesus chose 12 who would become apostles. They were set apart, and we get a list of who they were. Jesus didn't choose these folks based on their educational credentials. You read the rest of the story and you find that they were not scholars, but they spoke with power and authority because they'd been with Jesus. Jesus chose 12. And in that group, you had some amazing extremes. On the one hand, you had Matthew, who was a tax collector, and you had Simon, who was known as the Zealot. Matthew was a traitor to Israel, having sold out to the Roman authorities and using their military power to extort money from his fellow citizens. But Matthew, Levi, was one of the 12. Why did Jesus choose him? I will remind you for the gazillionth time. Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Who picked Matthew? Well, Jesus. Why did he pick him? He just liked him. No, the Father said so. The Father said he's one. So you got Matthew, the tax collector, and Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were not just like the Tea Party in America. These guys were the bad boys. These were the ones who advocated violence against the Romans in order to overthrow the Roman occupiers. Can you imagine? If you're part of the big group And you see in that big group a tax collector, and you're a zealot. You better get your eyes off of him and on to Jesus. Now, he also, in addition to Simon the Zealot, he had Simon Peter. He wasn't yet known as Peter, but he would become known as Peter because Jesus would give him that name, which means rock. Simon Peter, who was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. Andrew was one of the first to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And the first thing he did when he met Jesus was to go and get his brother Peter and bring him. That was his immediate response. And he is famous, as you'll recall, for being the one who brings people to Jesus in the Gospels, including the little boy with the loaves and fish. Andrew did that. But when the apostles are listed here, notice who gets top billing. Peter, not Andrew. Even though Andrew was following Jesus first. Even though Andrew was the one who brought Peter. Does that bother you? Does it seem at all unfair that when Jesus, out of this group, chooses three to be his closest associates, it's Peter, James, and John? What about Andrew? Well, Jesus didn't pick him to be part of the three. Well, he was there first. Yeah. Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Jesus chose a tax collector and a zealot. He chose Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, who had led him to Jesus. And he chose James and John. Now, James and John were also brothers. Andrew and Peter were brothers. James and John were brothers. And those four were commercial fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, and they were business partners. These two guys were in partnership with these guys. And so they knew each other really well and had worked together for a long time. And now Jesus has called them, and all four of them are going to be following Jesus. And three out of the four are going to be Jesus' inner circle, and the guy who's going to be left out is Andrew. Are you starting to understand my pain? Are you starting to understand why couldn't you have a group of four that's your closest buddies? Then there's Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Judas, son of James, different James, and Judas Iscariot. Now, out of that group, who's famous? Well, Thomas, what's the adjective attached to him? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Bummer. That's not all he did. That's not all he said, but that's what he became famous for. And that's a sermon for another time. But I want you to understand, Thomas gets famous as a doubter, and Judas Iscariot gets famous as the traitor. And the rest of these guys are just on the list. Philip, what do you know about Philip? Not a lot. What about Bartholomew? Anybody here written a report about Bartholomew? No, because there's just really not much to say. This is pretty much it. He was one of the 12, okay? James, son of Alphaeus? Not famous either, okay? He's an apostle. How come we don't have any stories about James, the son of Alphaeus? I don't know. Now, why, Pastor Wood, why are you belaboring this point? Because here's the thing. You may get really famous as you follow after God. You may get really famous as you don't follow after God. Do some other thing. You become famous for fighting Mike Tyson. I mean, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. The only thing that's going to matter 150 years from now is whether or not you walked with God. It's not whether or not you're famous. It's not whether or not you'd have a lot of money. It's not whether or not people like you. What's going to matter is, did you do what God said to do? Are you following him? So some of these fellas we know very little about, but I want you to think about one more group, not just the 12 who weren't as famous, but these 12 were picked out of a crowd. What do you do if you don't make the team? You're not one of the three. You're not even one of the 12. I was following Jesus too. Jesus chose these 12 out of a larger crowd of disciples. What if you're one of them? You know, one of the guys who was a real devoted follower of Jesus and didn't make it into the 12 was a guy by the name of Lazarus. You know his name? Yeah, he's the guy who died and then Jesus brought him back to life. Yeah, that's the one. Jesus did not pick Lazarus to be one of the 12. Wouldn't he have been a better choice than Judas Iscariot? Not if the Father said Judas Iscariot's on the team. The Old Testament talked about what Judas was going to do. God knew ahead of time. Well, did God make him do it? No, Judas chose. But God was at work using even wicked things that people freely choose in order to accomplish our salvation. So if you're not one of the 12, do you still stick with it? You still follow Jesus? I'm not one of the 12. Can I still be a disciple of Jesus? You better be. You better be. Here's what's wonderful. Right now, at this moment, Jesus is graciously speaking to you. And he knows your name. And he is saying to you, come, follow me. You're not going to be one of the 12 apostles, but you can be one of his disciples. He knows your name, and he loves you more than you can imagine. And he has a plan for you that is better than anything you could possibly dream up. And you are invited, even now. If you've never given your life to Christ, you are being invited right now in this moment to trust him and to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And if you follow Jesus, may not be famous, but you'll be famous in heaven. Because every time a sinner is converted, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Don't miss out.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.